I was born in New Orleans, and after I was about 10, my dad bought some property in Jefferson Parish, and we moved to Shrewsbury.
In Shrewsbury, which is just upriver from the Orleans-Jefferson Parish line, Marcellus's father, Ellis Sr., who'd grown up in Summit, Mississippi, had room to keep some farm animals.
He was in a barn area, and he was milking his cow. So he told me, he said, go over there and get that feed and put it in a trough for the cow. So I got the bucket and put it in there, and I was kind of leery about this, because, see, I was a cat come from the city, you know? And, like, I was easing up on the trough to put it in, and the cow turned her head, which at the time I didn't know it, but she could smell the food, and she turned her head. I thought she was coming after me with the ball. So I dropped the bucket and ran. But eventually, I did become acclimated to just about all of the farm animals we had.
And soon got started with music, clarinet first, thanks to the inspiration of Artie Shaw and the Gramercy Five, and also some piano lessons. Marcellus enjoyed clarinet, but
the music of the day was primarily rhythm and blues. Mm-hmm. And so I got my folks to buy me a tenor saxophone, because that was the instrument on the recordings that got most of the solos, you know. Like Lee Allen, who was with Fats Domino, and there was a saxophone player named Batman, and he was playing with Roy Brown, who had a big hit on Good Rockin' Tonight. Yeah. And I learned that solo. And basically, that was the direction that I went in, because I realized that when I started to learn those solos, that I could get girls to look at me.
There's no art without sex, ladies and gentlemen. Yes.
And so I went in, you know, moved in, into that direction. But around that same time, there was a radio show in New Orleans. I can't remember the title of the show, but the disc jockey, I think his name was Richard Rising, and he played modern jazz, you know, at that time, Charlie Parker, Dizzy Gillespie, right. And it was appealing to me. I didn't know what any of that really was. I knew I liked it.
Yeah, it just sounded good.
Right. And around that same time, around the spring of 1949, Dizzy Gillespie came through New Orleans with his big band. Hmm. And I heard, when I went to the concert and I heard that band, ooh, I knew that's what I want to do.
And it was around that time that Ellis Marcellus, playing tenor sax, picked up his first paying gig, thanks to his friend, pianist Roger Dickerson.
We had a rhythm and blues band, you know, called the Groovy Boys. Boy, that's a corny name. I think how that really came together, a friend of mine, Roger Dickerson, who is still in New Orleans right now. He was studying piano, and his piano teacher wanted to treat her students to, like, a, you know, a dance, a party, like. So she asked Roger about getting some guys together to play for them. At the end of the evening, which was quite a surprise, she passed the hat and collected some money and paid us, because we didn't expect to get paid. We were just having fun.
Having a good time.
So that was the first job that I ever played where we got paid, and it was $1.50 apiece. Which, you know, this was in what, 1948? 49, somewhere around that.
You're 14, and, 15 years old, something like that.
Yeah. And like that wasn't too bad for somebody who was still living in their folks' house.
The Groovy Boys played school dances and the like for the next 4 years or so. Marcellus and Dickerson were eventually taking down $8 a pop. But Ellis also kept his hand in on piano.
I had started to study the piano with a piano teacher named Gene Costin Maloney, who my sister was studying with. And I learned from her how to practice the instrument. It had nothing to do with any genre of music. It wasn't like jazz, classical, or whatever. Even though most of what I had to practice would be considered classical music. But she had a much broader mind. Like most of the piano teachers, you couldn't even touch their pianos and play jazz on it.
Right.
Yeah, it was sacrilege. But she was a little different. She believed that you should learn to play this instrument and apply that to whatever direction that you want to go in.
Ellis Marcellus's conversion to full-time pianist was essentially completed when he was sitting in on keys one Sunday night at a Dewdrop Inn jam session.
I heard this saxophone player named Nathaniel Paroline. And this guy was so good until I actually stopped playing just to listen to him on the bandstand. But I said to myself, I said, well, I will never play the tenor saxophone again. And I never did. You know, I put it in the case and that was it. So then I started to reconstruct all of the information that my second piano teacher had given me and actually started to work on the instrument and learn a lot more about it.
Boy, did he ever. You can catch the great Ellis Marcellus most Friday nights at Snug Harbor Jazz Bistro, and it is always a beautiful thing to hear. For 89.9 WWNO. I'm Fred Kasten.